Welcome to Buzz in the Tower, a podcast dedicated to the movies of the 1980s and the 1990s. I am Mo Shapiro. With me, the Somerset to my Mills.
No, the severed head in the box.
What's in the box?
Oh, God.
Max Sanders on the 1-2, and today we're talking about Seven.
Detective.
You can't. I don't know the words. I wanna blank you like an animal.
Yeah, that first part wasn't that song, was it?
Yeah. Oh. He redid it.
Okay. Trent Reznor. It's not his name.
I know Trent Reznor is. Yeah. We had this discussion before.
You didn't seem to know who he was.
Bottom line, we're talking Seven.
Yeah.
We're talking Morgan Freeman. We're talking Brad Pitt. We're talking Kevin Spacey before he ended up being worse than John Doe.
There's a reason why he could play these roles.
Oh, poor Kevin Spacey. So, and the men that he tortured.
Poor him. Yeah.
Yeah, right? You know?
But he's in two of the biggest plot twists of 30 years.
What part of this show makes you think that we're ready to go into that?
Sorry.
Take a deep breath.
You got to
First of all, look at that shirt.
Yeah.
Is that from our sponsor?
No.
Who cares? I'll bring it up. 80stees.com, where you can get the finest linens and velvet in your favorite 80s and 90s movies. That's an awesome shirt.
Thank you.
Did you buy it already? Because I know this is a big movie. You love this movie.
I bought it
just for the show. Yeah. Are you going to return it after this
episode? No, I'm going to keep it.
You should keep it. It's a pretty cool shirt.
But you know what's interesting? There's only two shirts for Seven on Amazon. Yeah. Not a big
pull for shirts.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Today we're talking Seven. If you haven't already, please subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your podcast preferences. We're there. And Max, we're on YouTube.
Go to
youtube.com/@buzzinthetower, B-U-Z-Z-N.
See our faces. Tower. Look at that.
You can't.
Right to camera.
You can't listen to me talk. Look at you. You're using the cameras. You can't listen to me talk about these awesome t-shirts, and you just, the smile doesn't come through unless you go to YouTube.
That's why you got a great studio.
I think so.
Yeah.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and good things will happen. You won't end up in greed or sloth.
Lust.
Lust. We're going to talk about lust.
What's your sin? Mine's greed.
Yours or sloth?
Yeah, fair.
Yours is my fair.
You're
like, all right.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't even know.
Yours is lust.
Mine might be lust.
Yeah. Anger or fury?
Fury.
Jesus, you are furious.
Just with you.
Yeah.
I'm not this furious with other people.
When's the last time you actually lost it? That guy in the parking lot where you put the thing on his windshield.
Yeah.
Look at the face that got all tight.
I'd like to think that I'm pretty reasonable.
Yeah. But you can be pushed.
I can. I can be pushed. It's really terrible.
It's interesting because you're good at being angry. I'm bad.
You won't like me mad.
Yeah.
But I'm such a wimp. I mean, not as big of a wimp as you are. But
you'll throw fists. I won't.
Yeah, I won't.
Yeah.
I will. I like punching people. I like the feeling of their flesh in my hand. All right. Anyways, Coster, throw up some weird kind of I don't even know.
Flames? Devil flames?
Is there an emoji for a mentally ill person? Throw it in there when we get like this. It's fine.
The sane asylum thing?
Something like that. Patreon.com/buzzinthetower so you can support the years of therapy apparently required for all of my
problems. I've been in therapy for... Since you were three.
Saw this
movie as part of the therapy.
I really hope not.
No.
buzzinthetower.com is the website. I think that covers everything. Today we're talking about Seven. A small sidetrack, which is fun. I am the reverend who is going to be presiding over Max's wedding to his fiancee, Selena, in June.
Yep.
And this morning I drove to Ann Arbor and spent the morning with Selena while you catnapped from your working of the night before. Have you always had that skull ring on your finger?
Is that new? This is part of the...
This is part of Seven?
This is my emotional...
too?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, I have to tell you, I really do love Selena because there is no one on earth that understands what it's like to host a podcast with you other than your fiance.
Yeah.
So as I'm talking with her, and what we arrived on, which I think you'll appreciate, is... You're legitimately one of the most kind-hearted, good people in the world.
Out of scared,
you're afraid to rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
But why people hate you is because you live your life so frivolously, and you're too happy, and your life is too easy.
Yeah.
So when you're sleeping in until noon or ordering your food or getting a manicure, you're rubbing. And I don't have the toughest life by any means, but I feel like you're rubbing our faces. That you found the cheat code to this video game and you're just running the score up on everyone.
You decided to have three kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Goods and bads.
God, man. I can just use a good fight. I just want to punch someone. All right.
Punch your kids.
It was great spending time with Selena. I'm excited for the wedding. She's honestly, I adore her. She's fantastic.
Yeah, you guys are very similar.
Yeah, well, we both hate you. So that's
alphas.
That's you and Trish should be close, really.
We would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except you disgust her. So today we're talking about Seven. Max, let's just talk first about this. I think you were about to say this. In the pantheon, in the in the halls of justice.
Ted Knight.
Yeah. In it's your favorite fact in the world.
Caddyshack.
It is my favorite fact in the world.
Meanwhile,
That Ted Knight from Caddyshack, if you don't know that, Judge Smiles.
We're waiting.
He is the voice of the narrator for the OG Justice League, like Super Friends.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. Here in the halls of justice. And that's Ted Knight. Okay. If you do the Mount Rushmore of like.
His head wasn't the box.
Of like plot twists.
Yep.
Or like wild endings.
I can't believe that happened.
Yeah. Like this movie is holy bananas.
This, Usual Suspects, Sixth Sense. Oh, God. Was there anything from the 80s that's like this big plot twist?
That's like jarring?
Yeah.
God, I don't even know.
Goose dying?
No, but that's not it. That's not an.
Yeah,
end
no,
plot
no, it's
twist.
Not. No, it's not. This is off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, you should probably like just Google great. Just go ahead and Google.
Yeah,
it. I mean, it's gonna come up on the list. Ba-da-ba-ba-da. While you Google that, I'm just gonna say like this movie. In addition to that, it really sits in this unique genre of film.
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island. Yeah, that's a good one.
Old Boy.
Oh, I said I've never seen Old Boy. Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, I don't wanna.
You seen it, Costner?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Very gross.
Who is Costner?
I'm afraid.
Is he related to Costner? I know Costner. I don't know Kevin Costner.
He thinks.
Me thinks you forgot his name again.
No, I get Costner is unique and Costner's more like normal.
Yeah, no, for sure. Whatever you say, bud.
Every time I write him a check, I have to look up an email that you sent me for your W-9 to make sure I spell it right.
This is my whole point. Yeah. I want to go back to what I was saying earlier.
Okay.
This is why people hate you. Yeah. Because the things that we're all forced to do, like zip our fly, wash our hands, not eat other people's food out of the refrigerator without asking, you pilfer through life. You're on the spectrum. That's really what it is. I'm 100% convinced you're on the spectrum.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Max, the movie Seven, when retiring police detective William Somerset, played by Morgan Freeman, tackles a final case within, whenever I think of this movie, I just think of like,
why are you laughing?
I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah.
But it's horrible. Like, it's not the fun Lethal Weapon kind.
It is not.
Tackles a final case with the aid of newly transferred David Mills, played by Brad Pitt. They discover a number of elaborate and grisly murders. Not fun grizzly bear, but, Grizzly Adams.
Gross.
Grizzly Adams had a beard?
He did.
They soon realize that they're dealing with a serial killer. Spoiler alert, played by Kevin Spacey.
If you're listening to a Seven podcast.
I know, it's true. Who is targeting people he thinks represent one of the seven deadly sins. Somerset also befriends Mills' wife, Tracy, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, who at the time was dating Brad Pitt, who is pregnant and afraid to raise her child in the crime-riddled city.
Yep.
This movie is spectacular. This is one of your top 10 favorite movies.
Top seven. I mean, it's number seven for me.
Top seven. Yeah. I like that.
So film noir is one of the best genres of film.
Yeah.
This is the best one for me.
Is 8mm film noir? Okay.
You know, it's directed by, it's written by the same guy.
Oh, no. I didn't know that.
Andrew Walker.
I liked 8mm.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay.
Yeah, Nick Cage and The Machine.
Yeah.
I wasn't raised incorrectly. This is just what I like. You're like, oh my God. Mr. Sabaka from The Wire.
Yeah,
Tomo
Arigato. Yeah. I've never seen an episode of The Wire.
You okay.
Know, come on, man.
But
pull it together.
Okay, cop movies.
Did you watch LA Story like I asked you to?
No.
I gave you two movies to watch, LA Story and something else.
Yeah.
Continue.
I'll get there.
Continue. It's okay.
Cop movies where the cops wear suits and go around a town, always great. Serial killer movies, always amazing. And it combines all those things. And it's one of the most gross, depraved, ugly, sad, depressing, big blockbuster movies of all time. Has there ever been a movie that made $300 million that had such a low view of humanity?
No. The thing about this movie that's incredible... For those of you that don't remember the seven deadly sins, I'll throw them out there.
Okay.
You've got yourselves a little pride, a little. Am I doing this in the order they are in the film? What's the order they are in the film?
Gluttony's first. Then it's greed.
Then it's greed.
Sloth. Then pride.
Pride.
And lust. Yeah, it's lust.
Yeah.
It's the supermodel.
Envy and rage. Envy, he was envious of the dude's
and
wife.
Wrath.
And then wrath, not rage. Sorry, wrath.
Rage.
Wrath. Good old wrath. That's mine. Is mine wrath?
Yeah.
So God, that's terrible.
You know what's crazy though? Andrew Walker Scott, I think that's his name, the writer.
Yes.
He knew nothing about the seven deadly sins before he made this movie.
I don't think it's wrath. I think it's anger.
No, become wrath.
Yeah, he says that, but I think it's actually anger. But that's fine.
I don't think so. Like,
whatever. Yeah. Maybe it is right wrath.
See?
Is it wrath? Okay, yeah. It's wrath. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, Max.
Yeah. It even says on my shirt.
I'll kill you.
Wait, wrath.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah. You could have read it on me.
Fine, wrath. I'm sorry I didn't read your shirt. Hate you so much.
I want a Reese's so bad right now.
I know. They're delicious. They're so good.
You look like a giant Reese's cup.
This movie does so many unconventional things, and that's what I love about this movie. This is the, I hate to coin this, this is the Howard the Duck theory.
Oh, they just tried it?
Because you have argued that the reason, by the way, I think the real reason you love Howard the Duck is because you're mentally ill, but you have argued the reason you love Howard the Duck is because the unconventionality of it, the fact that they had the audacity to try to do this.
A barbecue sushi restaurant?
Right.
Like, what
this,
the hell?
This movie obviously has nothing to do with Howard the Duck. But is there duck foo in this movie?
Stop.
Yeah, I don't even want you to try to tie the two. But the thing that you have to respect about this movie is they broke all of the rules.
Yep.
All of the rules. So here's basically what happens. David Fincher, who he is one of your favorites.
He's top three, top four. It's him, Tarantino, Mann, and oh my God, who's the fourth? Scorsese. Which, by the way, crazy. 1995, Casino, Heat. This, and in 94, it's Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
They both had, they all had their opuses.
Yeah.
Like in the mid-90s are like the so best.
It's the best time for,
it's a sweet spot for movies.
This movie, Fincher had just come out of Alien 3.
Yep. And he said, I'd rather die of colon cancer than make another movie.
Because Alien 3, which by the way.
Not bad.
Didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the movie he wanted to do. Because the studio got involved and said, change this, change that. And I almost feel like every good director has to go through this because he just was uncompromising.
Yep.
And the studio from the get-go wanted to change one thing in particular.
The ending.
Don't kill his wife.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is I don't know that Fincher on his own, because he didn't have the backlog of like success to really give the middle finger to the studio. Mm. But Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt said, we ain't changing this. He signed on because of that script.
They were like really good buddies and have been through the years.
Yeah.
Like they just, if you watch the director's commentary with them, they just seem like the best of friends.
And Max, so that's the big reason why this became this unconventional film, because that's not a Hollywood ending.
No, it's so sad.
You're left saying, what?
Do you know what the original
ending? What's the lesson?
Do you know what the original ending that he wanted?
Oh, I don't know what he wanted. I know that for a minute they wanted to put the dog's head, which I actually would have.
No, I didn't know that one.
Yeah, that was.
So there's a lot of reiterations of the ending because they've like done this a ton of times. The most conventional Hollywood ending, which I kind of like actually, was Somerset was going to kill John Doe and be like, what are you doing? He goes, retiring. And that's how it ends. Like he's like spares himself. But the ending he wanted to do and showed to a test audience and they didn't like it was, Mill shoots John Doe 6 times and it cuts to black like Tony Soprano, like legit. Wow. Like that's the darkest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
So people didn't understand it. So I like the last part with the Hemingway quote.
I mean, it just, that they allowed it to end that way.
Yeah.
Unfulfilling. You're just like, wow.
Yeah. There's no hope for humanity. Well, Fincher.
I get what you're saying. I think that the hope for humanity is that
Somersets will be around.
So I got a fact for you that you'll like.
Okay.
I was going to say, actually, I disagree in a sense that like if they didn't just cut to black or if they did just cut to black, I think the whole movie a lot of the movie is compromised. Without that Hemingway quote at the end, it doesn't kind of reaffirm his character arc that he's been going down, everything like that, with like he wanted to retire. Now he's not going to because he needs to fight to make everything better, even though he knows things are.
So let me jump into that. In Orthodox Christianity, despair is considered the eighth deadly sin.
Oh yeah, he was into that.
He's
right?
Despair.
Yeah,
Morgan Freeman's character is despair. The redemption of the film, although it's hard to stomach in the moment, is that he doesn't give up. That he's going back. And he's going to be doing these things.
But is he going back because it's all he knows and it's all he like loves doing? Like, think about what he does in his life. He left his wife, who he convinced to get an abortion.
Right.
He lives
wife or girlfriend? I thought it was his girlfriend.
Whatever, it was. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seemed like she was going to be his wife. The only time he's really happy in the movie is when he's in the library printing Dante's Inferno, like listening to classical music. Which, by the way, great scene.
Which, by the way, do you know what that library was in a year earlier?
No.
It was in The Mask.
Shut up.
And Jim Carrey is robbing the place blind.
Oh, my God.
It's incredible.
That's awesome.
I thought you'd like that.
Where'd you find that?
I find things. I find things. I get what you're saying. I think that that may be part of it, but I think that Morgan Freeman, the initial reaction to the end of this movie is, oh, my God, you're left with this empty feeling. But the fact that he's not giving up, that that despair hasn't completely taken him over, that's the redemption of it, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, the quote is, it's worth fighting for. Yeah. It's the quote isn't, I'm going to do this because this is all I know. Yeah. He's doing it because it's worth fighting for.
He says the world isn't a fine place. You know what I mean? The whole movie. And,
right.
By the way, the best part of this whole movie that, like, if you watch it enough times, I've watched it probably 50 times.
I'm sure, yeah.
So the entire movie, Morgan Freeman is basically the loud guy in a scary movie. Like, don't go in there. He's basically saying, nothing good is going to happen. Yeah. This can't be my last case. Yeah. This shouldn't be his first case.
I'm getting too old for this.
If his head opens and an alien comes out, I want you to expect it.
Yeah.
And he's telling you the whole time, you're like, nah, you know what I mean? It's going to be fine. Yeah, like, this is a movie. Yeah. We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And he's been telling you the whole time,
yeah,
this world is fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The I think the best part of the entire movie is when he has lunch with Gwyneth Paltrow. That entire scene.
Yeah.
And
that's her best acting.
And ever. And he's like, don't you, and if you get, if you don't
you
keep
spoil
the
spoil him rotten.
And she, when she just, when he says that and she her goes, and her breakdown, Max, yeah, it's like, it's a master's class in acting. Yeah, it's so good.
I hate this place. You just want to protect her. Yeah. You're like, come on, Gwyneth, come with me.
Brad Pitt refers to her, or I think he quoted saying, she's the only sunshine in the entire film.
Yep.
So this entire film is shot, the film was treated, the actual film was treated a certain way to keep a gray tint to everything going on. They shot everything in rain.
It's like God's pissing on it.
Well, they did it
time.
For two reasons. One is it creates this like darkness and grittiness. Yeah. The second was is that it made it very, very easy to shoot because it's there's smart. No such thing as a bad day. Yeah. They shot this film in a month and a half.
That's crazy. 55 days?
Was
like
it?
That?
Is that something like that?
I mean, that's close enough, yeah.
2 months.
Yeah.
2 months.
It's insane.
It's unreal.
Yeah. But, what did I say? I love that. I love that it's an unnamed city too.
Yeah.
So do you know this is the most wrong question in a trivia thing?
It is when they say what city,
because everyone's like New York or Boston.
Can I give you another stupid fact that you'll find you'll love? You'll like bathe in this. So when the badge, the police's badge is flashed, it says Metropolitan on it. Do you know the only other movie that does that?
Mahoney,
Tackleberry, Police Academy. I mean, this is seven. Police Academy tie is incredible.
Very related.
Oh, that's really good.
And it's wild. This movie, the only people in the city seem to be like crack addicts, prostitutes, cops,
it's just murdered
victims.
Even the FBI informant that they give the money to seems like he's like like an awful human being.
Do you know who he's from?
No.
Sons of Anarchy. He's like the big dude with the
Never
beard.
Never seen Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah, I've heard
Have
it's
you seen
really
Wanted?
Mm-mm.
Or Salt?
Nope.
No, okay, fine. He's in a bunch of stuff.
My apologies, Max. Yeah.
Even the pizza's gross. Like, remember, he's like blotting it off. Yeah, he's like, nah, gnarly.
The screenwriter who wrote this film,
Andrew Walker Scott, is that what it is?
Andrew Kevin Walker.
Yeah, got it.
But that's not even close, except for the Andrew part you got. So this is a guy who he graduated from Penn State's film program.
Yep.
Fizzles out, gets a job at Tower Records
in New York.
He's in a dark, dark place.
Yeah.
And he spends 2 years writing this script.
Yeah.
And it really reflected his negativity. Like, I get it. You go to film school. You have this eye in the pie vision of what you're going to become. You move to New York. You're living. You're broke. And you write, like, this outrageous script of,
You think he was writing it about people that he was selling stuff to?
100%. I think he was looking around, and he's like, oh, that lawyer making all that money. Or that fat pig eating all that food.
Buying that NSYNC double album. I want to murder you.
Or that lucky guy who has the weird sex thing with the knife. God, I can't get over that. I always think about that when I think about this.
Yeah. It's a performance piece.
By the way, jumping ahead, one of the cool tie-ins, because obviously Fincher did Fight Club, which Fight Club is on my Mount Rushmore. I love Fight Club. The police officers, the three police officers in Fight Club are Andrew, Kevin, and Walker.
Oh, that's cool.
So I don't know if he was officially credited, but I think he had something to do with the writing of Fight Club, or maybe he touched on the
screenplay.
He was
a script doctor.
Gotcha.
And he also did another... He did another Fincher movie, script doctoring. We'll talk about it later. But he also wrote The Killer.
Have you seen that? No.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Michael Fassbender. It's Fincher. It's incredible. And he also wrote Metalocalypse's movie, which is a super dark, heavy metal cartoon that I love.
Yeah.
And 8mm and Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
So this dude is messed up.
He's dark.
Yeah.
Well, so when this guy wrote the script, he passed it out to a few people, and one guy was like, "I'll pass it along, but like, you should really talk to a therapist." And he was like, "Dead serious." He thought he was like a little bit losing his mind. So he actually, Fincher signed on by accident. He was sent the wrong version of the script. Mm. He got the original version of the script where Tracy, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, is killed at the end. It had already been changed to not be that way, but Fincher, that's why Fincher kind of fell in love with it and wanted to do it and stuck with it, hell or high water.
Yeah, this script gave us David Fincher, the movie director. Without this, he wasn't going to come back. He was going to direct. He's a pretty prolific music video and commercial director.
Yeah.
Like, he did the Gap Dancer stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
He did Janie's Got a Gun. And, like, we'll talk about Fincher later. I adore Fincher.
Yeah, I know. You're a huge fan.
This movie only cost $33 million, which is insane.
And, again, shot in 2 months. Nuts to me.
So, it's New Line Cinemas. It's their first A movie. Yeah. So, I mean, this is the house that Freddy built. So, this was a Freddy Krueger slasher.
But even Freddy Krueger was always, like, B-film.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And then, from this movie, they get Lord of the Rings, all the Austin Powers movies, and Rush Hour.
Well, when you make that kind of money... Right. Yeah. I mean, in large part, these studio houses, the reason that they do B films is they only have B money.
Yeah.
When you all of a sudden have A money, you can hire and do whatever you want. You know?
It's so cool. And this was pre-internet, so people didn't know.
So this is an excellent point. So 95. Kevin Spacey was not credited in this film.
Nope.
And nobody knew he was in this film. Yeah. And it actually was kept as a secret until opening weekend. And you never could do that today.
Yeah.
You could never get away with any secret anywhere. The Lions uniforms were leaked. They can't even keep the freaking uniforms.
Do you like the black?
I love them.
Yeah, the black is really cool. Did you order one already?
No.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Right. Sorry.
I don't know why.
I didn't mean to burst your bubble. I apologize.
But you got to remember, this had a Michael J. Fox effect of when he did Back to the Future and everyone saw Teen Wolf because of it.
Yeah.
Usual Suspects came out before this.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, Kevin Spacey's the man.
Yeah.
And then after that, in this movie, oh my God, he's in it.
Yeah.
Just jarring.
Which you were, I cut you off earlier when you were saying this, but it's kind of wild. Kevin Spacey is in two of the biggest plot twist films ever made.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really good in this. I know he's a dirtbag, but he's really good in this.
He's the best serial killer psychopath ever.
Yeah. Here's some wild facts for you that are foul, but also wild. do you know about the cockroaches?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, in the scene with the cockroaches, they had to take the actor and
the big
to,
fat guy.
Yeah. Or your big fat lady. And they had to put wax in his ears so the cockroaches wouldn't crawl inside his orifices. Yeah. I'm like, well, like, give credit to actors when they deserve it. Like, there is no amount of money on earth that would get me to do this.
And they got 7 pounds of cockroaches.
Yeah.
I didn't know they measured cockroaches.
And to keep them on set so they didn't disappear, they put them in Vaseline so they wouldn't, like, get off set. How foul is this?
And they let the set sit. Like, they made it gross, and they let it sit for a month.
15 hours is how long it took to put them in the fat suit. So he felt so bad about it, they made his genitalia larger than normal.
I didn't notice that. So are we talking about facts now, or should
facts.
We just... Okay,
facts,
okay.
Do it.
Let's see.
How about the fact that Pitt's wearing that cast on his arm because he slipped and put his hand through a windshield and sliced it to the bone?
Yeah, his tendons were showing.
Bleh.
But you really thought they were like, cool, now he's going to have a cast the whole time, which actually fit.
Duh. How terrifying is it? The guy that they used for Sloth,
which,
by the way, like...
That scene, it took me a few years to not skip through that.
It's our guy. It's our guy from Scrubs and Johnny Utah.
Johnson McGinley.
Yeah. He's...
You got to come in here!
Yeah, dude.
He is the most realistic SWAT guy.
He's great
guy.
In this.
So when he's in the helicopter and he's like, oh, God, what the hell's going on?
I mean, he's got the
California. California, stay away from here.
I mean, I'm trying to think. There's some other movie aside from Point Break that he was in as like a tough cop, and I can't think of what it
was. He's in Office Space.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's when he's a tough cop. You got
it. Oh, tough cop.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't know.
I can't remember it now to save my life. Yeah. Anyways, the guy that they had playing Sloth, they got a guy who was 98 pounds.
Yeah.
98 pounds.
Small
guy.
And
they wanted him to lose some weight.
Yeah.
Max, that whole scene. And then the attention to detail.
The bed sores.
Not even that. The air fresheners hanging.
Yeah.
And then when he goes to the hospital and they're like, even if he does wake up, his brain is mush. He chewed his tongue. Like,
all long ago.
And the Polaroid pictures that were taken of him, and he was there for a year on the actual day.
Did you notice that the pictures in the beginning looks like Brian Thompson? It looks like the Night Slasher in the beginning.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Though.
But do you know everyone on set didn't know that he was going to cough?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah.
So,
you told me that back before.
They freaked out.
Yeah.
I mean, that scene is so gross. It's interesting. This movie doesn't show a lot of actual violence happening in the moment. It's always kind of the residual after effect, which is almost creepier. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have it in your mind what John Doe was doing for a year rather than watching him do it.
Yeah.
It's the not show, don't tell. Tell, don't show.
So that's interesting, too, because if you look at this movie, right, this, like, horror film. Like, it's, I mean, it's not even a horror film, but it's like a slasher, it's terrifying movie.
Thriller horror.
There's all these horrific killings.
Yeah.
There's only one killing that
it's
happens.
Just a basic.
And it's not John Doe.
Yeah.
You don't see John Doe do a single thing the whole movie.
No.
But yeah. At the end of the movie, you see him get shot.
Well, it's the imagination thing. It's Alfred Hitchcock. Yeah. What's behind a corner is tension. You know what I mean? It's like just Fincher's a master.
So they get this guy for the opening credits. His name is Kyle Cooper. And now I'm fascinated to go see the other stuff he's done. So he's a Yale graduated. He's a Yale graduate who created the kinetic opening montage of John Doe's books that he wrote. And apparently, this guy is so good at what he does that Zack Snyder was quoted as saying that some directors refuse to use him because he makes the title sequences better than the movie.
I mean, with Fincher, it's on par, at least. You know what I mean? Like, so Fincher wanted to look like a serial killer made the opening credits. So, like, you see the disfigured hands, Nine Inch Nails is playing. There's, like, the weird calligraphy and all that. It's basically, like, everything you're mad about your parents at 12 years old, but, like, put on screen in an actual professional, awesome way.
I still think it's incredible that this guy was like, that people literally are like,
what else has he done? Do you know?
I didn't check that part out. I'm going to butcher this, but I can't find it off the top of my head, so I'll just do it from memory. The journals, they actually had them written.
Yep.
It took 2 months.
Yep. And $15,000.
Yeah. And that's why they made the comment that when Morgan Freeman says,
I could pick anyone off.
And it would take 2 months with a group of team of whatever to read through these. That was a tip of the hat that they hand wrote out those crazy ass journals.
I'm furious at myself for our memorabilia thing.
For not the journals.
That I didn't pick up the journals.
I know. Yeah. Oh, the journals.
Although it's not really a pick me up. You know what I mean? Like, remember his journal? Like, what was his entry? He's like, a man started talking to me on the subway. It's like, I tried to, you know, talk with him, but I became bored and I threw up on him. I couldn't stop laughing.
Unbelievable.
And he writes in this psychopath way where it doesn't look like there's actually any space between the words.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just crazy.
Well, it's interesting. They played around with the sequel. So did you know about this, the sequel they wanted to do?
No.
So they were going to do a sequel.
What, eight?
That's clever. They took a spec script titled Solace, and it was about a psychic investigating a serial killer, and it was going to be Morgan Freeman's character doing it. But they ended up not doing this, obviously, but they still greenlit Solace, and it was eventually released with Anthony Hopkins in 2015.
I got to watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it won't tie together, but the idea is that, like, he would be off doing his next thing.
And you got to remember, these kind of movies, these, like, psycho thriller kind of things.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Is that what that is?
No. Psycho killer.
Oh, okay, got it.
Ba, 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 ba.
There's a formula, and, like, there's good versions and bad versions of this. There's, like, copycat, eyewitness. You know what I mean? Like, there's formulaic movies like this.
Yeah, yeah.
What makes this singular is the ending, the John Doe coming in with 40 minutes left.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the David Fincher of it all.
Yeah.
So, like, this is untouchable. And
you can't duplicate a film like this.
It's timeless, too, weirdly. Like, it doesn't feel like it was made in the 90s.
Yeah.
It feels like it could have been made yesterday.
Except one part, the scene where he's paying money to get a copy of the books that were checked out.
Yeah.
Post-Patriot Act, that actually is now happening. Yeah. So you can actually track people. So if I were to check out a bunch of books on, like, how to build a fertilizer bomb or whatever, I'd be on a list.
Did it make you want to kind of do that and see if, like, an FBI guy came to your door?
Yeah. No, sir. It did not. Yeah. Going back to this, like, the actors putting on, like, their best, you know, performances, I thought this was really cool. It's overlooked in the big scheme of the movie, but the actor Leland Orser, who plays Lust, so he's the guy who is forced to have sex with the girl wearing the
he's
knife,
a that guy he's
a
in
knife
a ton of
prosthetic. Yeah. He's incredible when he's getting, I mean, incredible when he's getting interrogated.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But he's like, I mean, when you look at him, you're like, Jesus.
Yeah, he's gonna pass out.
So listen to this as preparation for those scenes. He would breathe in and out so rapidly that his body would oversaturate with oxygen. So he'd force hyperventilation on himself. And like that, so that was legitimately him hyperventilating. He also didn't sleep for days prior to the
Charlie
shooting.
Sheen.
Yeah, yeah. So they could get that sunken eye Max Sanders look.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
I mean, everyone in this movie is top notch. I wouldn't change anybody.
No, they did. Like, Brad Pitt bought his own ties because his fashion sense is such crap.
Yeah.
And he wanted that, like, guy who's not a tie wearer, you know, he's a cop. And like just little stupid things like that I think were great.
So what was I going to say? There's one casting what if, though, that I think about maybe once a week.
Keeps you up at night.
John Doe, Kevin Spacey's perfect. Yeah. Like the calmness of him versus the voice modulation in the speech.
Yeah.
When he's talking about like the people he killed, he's like, a woman, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. Or he's like, only in a world this. And when he says shitty, his voice kind of like inflects because he's sad.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, this guy gets it weirdly. Like, you're kind of nodding your head.
Yeah.
The only person who was the what if who said no is the person I think about, Val Kilmer.
No way.
He could do
you're
it.
You're crazy.
He's weird.
The two what ifs are both nuts. Val yeah. Kilmer and then the lead singer of REM.
Michael Stipe.
Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah. And Gene Hackman, Al Pacino.
Not as John Doe.
No, for Somerset.
For Somerset, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You don't think Val could have done it?
No. Now,
different performance.
I think I love Val Kilmer.
The Saint.
You're crazy. He couldn't have done that. What is the most serious role he's ever done that's even come close to that?
Where he's like a psycho?
Yeah.
You seen Felon?
No.
Okay.
I'll watch it and tell you that he can't do it.
Yeah.
You have to get someone.
The Island of Dr. Monroe. Not the Saint. Heat. He's like a weird psycho, kind of like straight faced,
no
kind of.
No. No way. You're crazy.
God, you're so mean.
I know. I'm just going to get crazy on this one.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
No, it's fair. I mean, I'm not going to argue against Kevin Spacey in freaking Seven.
Since you've been heavily swearing and we're giving Koster lots of extra work on this, I'll throw another one in there. The word f- and all of its derivatives, like f- or f- you or mother, f- were said 74 times throughout this movie, mostly by Brad Pitt. Play.
You're a fucking t-shirt.
Yeah.
You're a movie of the week at best.
Yeah.
So Brad Pitt, now, do you like him in this movie?
Yes.
Okay. So,
but I want to clarify when I like him. It feels like a raw, less polished version of what we know as Brad Pitt.
Yes, but I think he's supposed to be kind of an idiot.
And so you nailed it.
Yeah.
And I think that if you had like,
if he was
World War Z Brad Pitt there, it wouldn't feel the
same. No, because you need Somerset to be the genius and him to kind of be the do-gooder, doesn't see the world the way it is.
Oh, he's emotional. Yeah. He, you know, loves his dogs. He's supposed to be every man.
When he gets on the floor. You know what I found in the research that I just thought was so cool? You know how their apartment shakes all the time? So when he's with Somerset, the apartment shakes and a basketball falls off the mantle and he mindlessly kind of puts it back on the mantle and he's a moron because obviously the next time the train shakes, he's just going to fall again, but he's just doing it mindlessly.
You know,
I love, by the way, that was a funny 90s thing. People who hate reading. Yeah. He was just so upset. He's like, God, poetry.
Oh, the cliff notes.
Yeah.
I actually understand that. Yeah. I'm not a big reader myself. Here's one that would not have worked. Sylvester Stallone turned down the role of Mills.
Well, this is Copland.
I know. Yeah. No.
Well, this is 95 was Copland.
Max, I don't know, dude. I know he wasn't Copland. I don't know.
It would have been bad.
I mean, he turned it down.
What's in the box?
We got in that box. I didn't hear no bell. This film is on Roger Ebert's great movies list.
Yep. He changed his review. It was originally 3.5 stars.
Really?
And when he did like his great reviews, he altered it to 4 stars.
Oh, all right.
That's not fair.
No, it's not, I guess. Kevin Costner and Nick Cage were briefly considered for the role of David Mills. Nick Cage would have been good.
What's in the box with him? Oh, my God.
What's in the box? Howard Shore. Oh, this is great. So Howard Shore scored this movie.
Yep.
Do you know the other movie he scored?
No.
The Silence of the Lambs.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there's a familiarity in the sound.
It's cacophonous. It's like, it's ominous. It makes everything feel important.
So to me, I know we talked about like plot twist films that were incredible, but there's only two movies that fit in this genre for me, and it's Silence of the Lambs and Seven.
What's the twist in that one?
It's not a twist. Okay. I'm saying take the twist part aside.
Okay, got it.
I just mean like murder, like serial, like weird.
Migs.
Yeah. Migs. Multiple Migs.
By the way,
look at the blood.
You know the original who they wanted?
That's ignorant.
Do you know who they wanted as a director for this originally? We were talking about South Park earlier.
I stand by that I could look at you in any situation and go, that's ignorant. You start laughing. Sorry, continue.
They wanted Jeremiah S. Chesick as the director to begin with. Do you know who that is? It sounds familiar.
It sounds very familiar.
He directed Christmas
Police
Vacation.
Academy?
He did.
That's amazing.
So I just want to talk about a few scenes first before we get into the cast.
Do it, baby.
So first of all, John Doe's apartment is like the coolest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. The Red Cross. He's sleeping on a cot.
Yeah.
There's like
a lot of crazy.
There's like Jack the Ripper tools.
I love the Advil, like the headache medication for his migraines.
He kept all the bottles for some reason. That's super weird.
He's crazy.
Yeah. The guy who's like running the whorehouse, when he's like, do you like those things you see? He's like, no. I'm like, this guy, I don't know where he came from, but I like.
You like him.
He just gravitated to him. The metronome for sleep.
I could see you running a sleazy whorehouse.
Yeah.
I could see you being the madam.
Yeah.
Welcome to Max's Party Palace. That's ignorant.
Just the small details, like the metronome to fall asleep.
Yeah.
That he's throwing the knife at the dartboard.
That he actually, that's his skill set. That's legit. He can throw the knife at the dartboard. Yeah,
is that from
his
Air Force days back in the day?
Oh, look at you. Oh. Look at you getting all fancy. All of the helicopter shots were done after the end of shooting.
Oh, really?
So I would argue one of the most iconic scenes of the movie is that long shot from the helicopter.
Yeah.
And that's none of the actors.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's all their stunt doubles, because by this time wrapping it already shot and it was finished, but they went back. The studio basically had run out of, or the budget had ran out of money. The studio said, Fincher, if you need it for the helicopters, we'll get the helicopters.
Which,
by the way, call him Finch. Hey, Finch. Gonna go pinch a loaf.
Yeah,
American Pie.
Yeah.
Look at that.
American Beauty.
Look at you, American. Jesus. You're all spacied out with nowhere to go. Continue.
So, I mean, like you said, the helicopters, you get this Rear Window vibe for that last scene too. Like you're watching as kind of a spectator while all this is happening.
You know, speaking of Rear Window, the entire, like, the POV for the cop cars and everything ripped directly from Cops.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, an interesting car. And I thought this was really cool, too. One of the things that Brad Pitt, when talking with Fincher, had said that he always hated is in these types of movies when the guy who's chasing the bad guy just whips around corners and chases him and doesn't care. But if you watch when he's going after John Doe, there's like a legit, like, I don't want to get shot. Am I clear to go around this corner?
Yep.
And it just adds this like realism to what's going on.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like the chase scene's unbelievable. Yeah. So here's a question for you, actually, though, that
I love
someone,
a question.
Yeah, someone posed the other day.
Pose away.
Was John Doe's original plan to do the Tracy's head in the box, Brad Pitt kill him, or was that on the fly when he realized that they had been on to him? Because if you think about it, Mills only became a detective in the city a week earlier.
Yeah.
And there's no way he would have known he would have been put on his case. So did he?
Boy, that's tricky.
Did he call an audible? I feel like he did.
I'll tell you why it's a tricky question to answer, because you certainly would assume, because all this happens within 7 days.
Yeah.
God, that's a great question, Max. Because he's got the guy, like, was being in sloth
for one year to the day. But the thing is, think about it. Like, his sermon is putting the sin against the sinner.
Yeah.
Tracy's death isn't, she's not a sinful person.
Is it feasible to say?
Yeah.
He had the idea for the plan, and he could have picked any cop. Like, meaning, like, had it not been Tracy, he could have found any cop and done the same thing.
True. It is curious that there's one innocent person, because remember he's giving that whole speech about like the sin against the sinner kind of thing. Like they deserve it. Like, I bet you'd be thanking me for the lawyer.
Yeah.
Like no one's thanking him for Tracy.
Right.
So that's the one thing that throws it off.
Yeah. Well, no, because she's
his envy. He's envious of her life, but she doesn't deserve to die in the same way.
It's a little tricky.
I know.
But he's also crazy.
Yeah. So it's such a good twist. You don't care.
No.
Yeah.
No. You suspend a lot of reality.
Yeah. All right, let's get into David Fincher
now. Like the Police Academy badge.
Mahoney?
Oh, man, that's good. So, all right, talk to me about David Fincher.
He's a god, so he's very difficult to work with, which I guess, I mean, like, you think like Bill Belichick.
You got to back it up. If you're going to be that way, you got to back it up.
Yeah.
People tolerated Bill Belichick because they had rings on all their fingers.
Yeah, exactly. So he's done 99 takes for one scene because he wants to get the actor, like, out of his skin kind of thing.
Yeah.
He does a lot of, like, fluid tracking cams, single flash frames. Remember in Fight Club how he talks about like the cigarette burns?
Yes.
And also like there's the pornography like clip.
Yeah.
He does the same thing with Gwyneth Paltrow's face when Brad Pitt's thinking about Tracy.
Yep.
Remember? So like,
yeah, the cut in.
That's
kind of
an infamous thing for them. Lots of suicide in his movies. Shadows on faces. If you notice, John Doe has kind of like half his face covered from the back.
Mm-hmm.
Stationary shots where people walk into focus. And he loves a serial killer movie. He's close friends with Brad Pitt, obviously.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a bad movie on his resume besides Alien 3, which I give him the benefit of the doubt.
It's not terrible.
It's not.
You love The Social Network. That's like one of your...
I mean, that's not a me thing. That's...
No. I know people love that movie, but you love that movie.
People will say that's the best movie of the 2010s. It's hard to argue against it. Because his perversion, strangeness, like kind of like sharpness with Aaron Sorkin's dialogue and like kind of upliftingness.
Yeah.
When those merge, it's just insane. Like
it's funny. He stayed with his roots of music videos.
Mm.
So, like, I don't know if you were a big Wallflowers guy, but, like, when I was in high school.
One Headlight. Yeah.
So, he did the music video for Sixth Avenue.
No way, I didn't know that.
And that was after Seven. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, so he was still doing that stuff even after Seven came out.
Yeah, so he's got a great quote. "I don't know how much movies should entertain. To me, I'm always interested in movies that scar. The thing I love about Jaws is the fact I've never gone swimming in the ocean again." Like, that's what his movies do.
I'll never move to New York, if that's in fact where this movie took place.
But it's kind of funny, the music videos he directed, not very dark.
Nope.
So
Sixth Avenue Heartache is not very dark.
Ton of Rick Springfield stuff.
Yeah.
Bop Till You Drop, The Motels, Loverboy, Foreigner. Oh, this is my favorite one ever. He directed Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. Is that not the strangest?
She's Like the Wind.
Paul Abdul, Madonna, Billy Idol, Cradle of Love.
God, She's Like the Wind. That's amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, his movies, I mean, The Game's incredible.
Yeah.
Panic Room's okay. Zodiac, masterpiece. Social Network, masterpiece. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, visual masterpiece. He created House of Cards. He created Prestige TV, basically, on Netflix and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Did Mindhunter. Did Gone Girl, Love, Death, and Robots, which I love, and The Killer. He's just, and Mank,
you
too.
Love him. You
yeah.
love him.
He's the best.
Writer, Andrew Kevin Walker.
Yep.
Aside from his wild story of working at Tower Records and then flipping over, he did a bunch of movies. You know, he did Sleepy Hollow too.
Yeah, I
not,
said that
not
earlier.
To the sequel, yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah. But you know, he wrote an unproduced version of X-Men and Batman vs Superman. Oh. I want to read those ones.
Yeah, that'd be dark.
And you know what's cool? Like, what a shout out in Entourage. Remember when Vince is trying to think about?
I've not seen a full episode of Entourage. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah,
you'd love it.
I know.
You kind of lived it.
I know.
Yeah, but so Vince, who's the main guy, is being convinced to do a superhero movie before they're cool. And it's Aquaman, and this is like, you know, 2005 or something like that. And they're like tempting him to do it. He finally agrees because James Cameron is directing and Andrew Kevin Walker is the writer.
Is the writer. Okay.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool.
That is cool. That's a shout out.
So let's talk Morgan Freeman.
God.
Morgan Freeman. This is his best movie.
You know, is Morgan Freeman one of your favorite actors? I kind of was sitting back and thinking about like my Tom Hanks obsession, my Keanu Reeves obsession. And then I started asking myself, like, is there anything I've ever seen Morgan Freeman in? Where even if I don't like the movie, I haven't at least enjoyed his performance in the movie.
So his high highs are... It's
Shawshank?
Like, so, no, I'm saying like he's like how you think I perceive Michael Mann. I see him as two or three incredible movies and I just inflate the rest of them. I think his highs are so high. In the last 20 years, he's just cashed in and done like these like seventh lead roles like Lucius Fox.
Yeah.
The voice...
He's so good as Lucius Fox.
He is.
Though, I know.
But, yeah. But I'm saying like the like... Yeah, this is Shawshank. I'm saying his highs are incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has, because he has.
But at this point, don't all the great actors and actresses do that? Like, what is that quote? If you hope you don't live long enough to see your heroes turn, it's a Batman quote.
Yeah, either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Yeah,
isn't that the career of everyone in Hollywood?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
So far, he's still young.
He's 50 something.
That's 50 young, bud.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood.
He's.
96, but he did Gran Torino.
Of him lately?
I know.
Yeah,
he looks like the guy who's doing Sloth in the movie Seven.
William Shatner is 92 and still looks great.
William Shatner is in better physical condition than I am right now.
How is that
and
possible?
I don't know. He was just on. Was it Conan that he was on? He was just on one of them. They're just like, dude, like you are literally. He just went to the moon.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Yeah, he just went on one of the like.
He went to the moon?
He did one of the shuttle flights.
Okay. Did you go to the moon?
He went to space.
Okay.
Sorry, not the moon. He went to split hairs with me. The moon? Scooch.
That's
kids.
94 million miles away.
He went into space. Like, I can't even get clear to go on a roller coaster at Cedar Point. And he's going to space. It's incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we're biased because he has the greatest voice of all time, too.
Yeah, he does.
It's incredible.
His narration of those like National Geographic.
Those first few years for Andy.
Wow,
it's really coming
bad.
Off the.
You're having a lot of trouble.
I had a really good time
today.
Yeah,
let's go to Brad Pitt.
Well, no. Should we talk? I mean, talk a little bit about Morgan Freeman. Like
I thought we were.
Well, I mean,
who we were just talking about?
I mean, you forgot Glory, Driving Miss Daisy, and Lean on Me in one year.
I know.
Yeah,
Mr. Carter.
Yeah, and Sesame Street was his first debut.
Heck yeah, it was.
Yeah. All right, let's talk Brad Pitt, the most handsome man in America.
Yeah, I mean,
chiseled.
I'm trying to think of my
handsome wise can't be beat.
He's so good in Fight Club.
Yeah,
Fight Club does it for me.
So he's.
I'm a hot take. I think he's replaceable in Seven.
Yep,
I think he's replaceable in Seven. Yeah. I think you can't have this movie without Morgan Freeman. You can't have this movie without Kevin Spacey. You could get away with Keanu Reeves playing the role of Mills.
Do you think he could do the oh God thing?
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. I think we'd make fun of it though.
We make fun of this right now.
I know. I mean, yeah, it's true.
I mean, who'd be better than Brad Pitt for this? I don't know, dude.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise would be really good.
Yeah, he could be an idiot.
No, you know who'd be great?
Who?
Cusack.
Cusack would be good. He's too smart. He never plays stupid.
He could play dumb.
He doesn't play dumb. Name him one time he plays dumb.
I didn't say anything he's dumb.
No, he's like above average.
Oh, he's heartfelt, but he's not smart.
He's a good talker.
How about One Crazy Summer?
Okay.
Hoops.
Yeah, he's pretty dumb at that.
He gets a
hoops.
He gets a street washing truck. Just, come
one
on.
Crazy Summer. He need to be in Seven. So Brad Pitt is a character actor stuck in a leading man's body. I feel like him and Colin Farrell are these like twitchy kind of like.
Ooh, Colin Farrell could do this too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm saying like it's these unbelievably handsome people. That,
or are you constructing that because they're just so handsome that it's hard to see the other part?
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's great.
But no, I'm saying they're both incredible actors who are better in secondary roles than leading a movie.
Yeah.
I didn't know he speaks fluent French.
Why not?
Yeah.
I would. If I was that handsome, I'd learn French.
Yeah. So what are your top three Brad Pitt movies?
Oh, Jesus, Max. I love Ocean's 11.
Yeah. That's a great one.
It's
Rusty?
It's fun. Yeah. He's great in it.
Dated his wife for a while.
Yeah. I mean, Ocean's 11, Fight Club, and Seven.
What about Moneyball?
I like Moneyball. I'm not a baseball guy. You're a baseball guy, so you love that movie.
And what about Snatch?
I like the movie, but my inability to understand what they're saying always restricts how much I enjoy the movie.
Fair. Babylon's great.
Yeah.
And Ad Astra is really
Thelma
weird.
And Louise?
Yeah. He's so handsome.
Yeah.
Mm. Or True Romance. He's just True on Romance. The, on the couch. So we got Kevin Spacey. Should we talk anything about him? Or
I mean, are we allowed to?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about OJ. We can talk about Kevin Spacey, right?
Jesus. In Horrible Bosses, he's so funny.
He's so funny in Horrible Bosses. but now, like you realize that's probably kind of actually how he is.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's another one where like, could you find someone else to play that role? I mean, who else could? He's so good.
So someone brought this up. 80s De Niro, like Cape Fear, like
maybe
like psychotic Taxi Driver.
But isn't there part of De Niro?
Oh, Walken in the 70s. Like before he became a character.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
There's a
Rip Torn.
No, I know who could do it. I absolutely know who could do it. Michael Douglas. And you're gonna you're gonna think of older Michael Douglas, but have you seen him in the movie Fallen?
No.
It's the movie where he goes crazy because
Falling Down.
Oh, Falling Down, not Falling. Yeah. Thank you. Falling Down. Have you seen him in Falling Down?
He's kind of a like
the reason that Kevin's
a loser.
The reason
Kevin Spacey's a winner in this.
The
movie.
Reason that he's not a winner.
Yeah, he is. He's when he's dipping the tea and he's like, I got all the moves, baby.
The reason that Kevin Spacey pulls this off, he comes across as an everyday guy. The part when you make the villain human, but he's doing superhuman things, that's terrifying.
Yeah. But Douglas is kind of like a alpha winner kind of. I just all think
right,
it gets
Douglas. How about Michael Keaton?
He probably could. Shave his head.
Want to get sloth? Let's get sloth.
He probably could do it in a weird way.
Oh, maybe.
He's got those expressive eyes.
I don't think you get rid of him. I mean, like I said, I think the only one you could swap is Brad Pitt on this.
Okay, Gwyneth Paltrow, is this her best role ever? I go Tenenbaums.
Yeah, Tenenbaums.
Yeah, but she's incredible. This is close.
She's really good in this.
Yeah. Have you seen Country Strong?
No.
I've never seen it. I hear it's really good.
She was Wendy in
Peter
Hook.
Pan. In Hook. And Hook. She's the young one.
He's back. Hook. How have we not done Hook?
Do you want to do it next week?
Next movie we're doing.
Okay.
Hook.
Yeah. Oh, Pan's the man.
I'm getting goosebumps Rufio.
Right now.
Rufio. Rufio.
Rufio. Talented Mr. Ripley. She's wonderful. Shallow Hal. I liked a lot, actually, too.
You can fly. You can. But can you? I'm sorry. I'm so excited about a Hook now.
Bring it back. We're talking about Seven.
Yes.
Police captain is R. Lee Ernie, who's the Full Metal Jacket guy.
I know exactly who he is. What is your malfunction?
When he picks up the phone, he goes, this isn't even my desk.
Do you know his best role ever?
What?
Is the gay football coach in Saving Silverman.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Him and Jack Black are just
when they
like,
go to jail, and he's like, oh, you got to kill her.
That movie's underrated.
Saving Silverman's amazing.
Yeah, Neil Diamond cover, man.
Saving Silverman came out at a time where I was in the process. Maybe we'd already broken up, but I had a girlfriend in high school not many of my friends particularly liked, and it came out at a time where they're all like, oh, you got to see this. She called it Saving Shapiro. I'm like, it's a little different, but I appreciate the nod.
When you get it, it's like one nacho. It's all together.
So good. So good.
The library security guy?
Library security. Oh, yeah. He's
Hawthorne James.
Yep.
He's what is he in? He's Sam, the bus driver in Speed. And by the way, shout out to your boys, the Workaholics.
Yeah.
They cast him as a bus driver
in
the show.
Oh, that's incredible.
Isn't that awesome?
I love Workaholics.
And Captain Talbot is Richard Roundtree.
Yep.
He's Shaft.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Who's the man, Shaft?
He's one bad mother.
Yeah. Shut your mouth.
He's a little delayed.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. Shut your mouth.
Doe's lawyer is Richard Schiff.
Yep.
He's Toby from West Wing.
Yep.
Yeah, I love him, too. Yeah, he just got that little smirk smile on his face.
Dude, that's the intensity in that room.
So isn't it incredible to think, like, in these movies, it's all about catching the serial killer?
Yeah.
In this movie,
he just turns himself in,
yep. And they twist it where it's like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
two more murders.
Yeah.
Let's finish it. And you're just like, how is this possible?
It's so good, dude.
It's so interesting because they twist what you're expecting, like the tension.
What's your favorite scene in the movie?
It's the car ride. It just has to be because Freeman is doing the kind of I'm smarter than you introspection thing. He's like, what are you saying? Like, you enjoyed killing those people. And yeah. for the first time you see John Doe looking back and forth, you're like, maybe he's going to mess up or something like that. Like, gives you that fallibility part of him. And then when he starts giving the speech, he's like, what life I've given you, like, to left to live. Or like, a woman. You know what I mean? Like, who's so ugly on the inside, she couldn't bear to be ugly on the outside.
Yeah, he just went through all of his killings.
A drug dealing pederast. I might add. I'm like,
I might add.
and Brad Pitt's just like, stay away from the oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, sit back.
You freaking freak. Yeah, it's three actors in their prime.
Yeah,
just
riffing.
And they're kind of unraveling what the movie's about right there. Like, you're not really sure what the message of the movie is. And the message is, we're all screwed.
Yeah.
And John Doe might be right.
Oh, man.
The sledgehammer line is great, too. He's like, people need to be hit in the head with a sledgehammer to get their attention. I'm like, yeah, he's right.
Well, some people, Max, maybe like you.
You get tapped on the shoulder, you're going to listen to somebody?
No, I don't listen to anyone. And Max, on that note, anything else you want to cover before we get to the real exciting stuff?
One line that made me like literally want to sit and take a cold bath because I was just like, how is this so deep?
I love that it's a bath for you. Some people take cold showers, you take a cold bath.
When Somerset's describing what it's like to be a cop, he's like, we're just stranded on an island picking up diamonds in the off chance that we're going to be rescued one day.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah,
like,
a lot of darkness.
Like, cops are basically just janitors is what he's saying. You know, like, we're just picking up the pieces. Maybe one day it'll be used in court. Maybe not. But this is the world we live in.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's been around so long. He's smart. And also you feel for him. Like, when he's connecting with Tracy, you're like, this guy actually is good at human connection.
The relationship between him and, again, this speaks volumes to what I love about this movie.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if I have a favorite scene, but I love that they develop this friendship and that she's comfortable to call him. And I actually, for me, as crazy as this sounds, my favorite, I think I said this earlier in the podcast, my favorite scene in the whole movie is when Morgan Freeman and Gwyneth Paltrow have lunch together.
In the diner, yeah.
For me, when you look at the acting, the sincerity, the emotion, It goes from a partnership to a relationship. It goes from, like, Brad Pitt's character is no longer just the new guy coming in. Like,
he's part of the family.
He did the one thing he didn't want to do.
Yeah.
He has purposely created, you almost know at that point she's going to die.
Yeah.
Because he has methodically kept people out of his life so that he's not. Remember, like, when they go into the first couple places, he's like, you got to keep your emotion like, in check. And, like, here he is creating this friendship, and that just makes it even worse.
Yeah.
And, awesome.
Oh, by the way, that diner, does it look familiar?
It does.
You know,
it's the exact same diner that is in. Damn it. I read it. What is it?
This is a newspaper. Now, it's bullshit, but it's entertaining. Now you got to tell me a story. Train day.
Thank you. Training day. It took me a minute to remember.
Yeah.
Training day. Max, on that note, it is time for us to head on over to our. Your eyes usually like this to the screen where it's going to pop up. I love you so much. It's time to head on over to our Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight. Max, who do we have this week for our Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight?
We have Zoe Crowley, who was a film major at the University of Michigan.
It's a good university from the word on the street.
Yeah, and she's just a film buff. We talk all the time. She's
your work wife, right?
She's unbelievable at work. She's my
bartender, waitress?
Yeah. Scorekeeper's bartender. For the last 10 years.
Scorekeepers, you say?
Yeah.
Sounds like a good place. I'll have to check it out sometime. All right,
she's the nicest person, and she has really like deep and thoughtful movie ideas. Oh. And also, like, if there's a big movie like Scorsese or like Soderbergh or something, we'll go see it.
Oh, fun. All right, let's hear what Zoe had to say about Seven.
Hey, guys. It's Zoe. Thanks for having me on to talk about one of my all-time favorite films, Seven. Every time I watch this movie, I notice new things. And I've seen it probably 30 times. Here's what I noticed on this watch. In the last scene, Detective Somerset exclaims, "John Doe has the upper hand." And he really does throughout the whole film. It's his show. Fincher lays this out for us in a variety of ways. The opening and ending credits are as if John Doe made them. They are in his handwriting and are spliced the exact same way as his journals. Another way Fincher conveys this is through cinematography. We do not see the sun and the entire movie until the last scene. It's either raining or nighttime until John Doe decides to reveal his masterpiece to us. Even though it's shot during golden hour, it is color-corrected green. This gives the whole scene a super ominous tone, like a tornado is about to hit. And oh, Nelly, does it hit. All right, that's all I have time for. Thanks for having me on, Max and Mo.
That's very cool.
Yeah, the tornado thing is really it's color-corrected and you don't see the sun beforehand. I didn't notice that.
She's right, though. I mean, there are you feel throughout the entire film like everybody is a step behind.
Yep.
And then even in his arrest, you feel a step behind.
Yeah, you're like, why is he so calm?
So it really, is there ever a point in the movie where you don't feel like there? So it's interesting, the scene where they're in the shop, the dominatrix shop,
yeah.
And the guy says, yeah, I think he has a limp.
Mm.
I don't know if you noticed, but there's a guy who walks right by the store limping. It's
no
him.
Way.
So like he's even watching them follow him in the shop.
Yeah.
So like he's always kind of there. And
yeah, I mean, I guess the only time is when Somerset accuses him of enjoying the work.
Yeah.
And he seems like a little bit kind of like
a mildly disheveled.
But then he gets back into it. And he's like, I'm back. Yeah.
It's amazing. Max, this concludes our episode. Zoe, thank you so much for popping on the show and saying hi. This was 7 in
you
a nutshell.
Shoot me 6
no,
times?
No, baby. This is 7 in a nutshell. What's in the box, baby? Jesus. BuzzInTheTower.com is our website. Follow us and subscribe on whatever podcast you're listening to this on. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. We're on it. YouTube.com/@BuzzInTheTower is our YouTube channel. Follow it. All social media at BuzzInTheTower.com is the way to go. Sponsor 80stees.com. Patreon.com/BuzzInTheTower. Cats and dogs sleeping with each other.
Mass hysteria. Listen, Ghostbusters.
It is. Good. That's good.
What would be a good double watch with this? Like, if you watch this, what would you pair it with?
I'd watch 7 and then I'd watch 11.
Is 11 a movie?
No. I'd watch, Stranger Things.
Wow. That's, yeah.
You like that? Yeah. Max, great movie, great flick, and we're doing Hook.
Yeah.
So I'm the Hook. Pan's the man. Brings you back. Oh, sorry. I was thinking. Blues Travelers.
Blues Travelers, great.
They are.
Yeah.
Have you ever done this? Have you ever actually read the lyrics?
Break it in.
No.
Let's begin.
It's a bigger deal than that. Coster, are you familiar with that song?
You can steal the national independence.
No, this is absolutely fascinating and it's going to blow your mind and it's worth taking a second to do. So the lyrics to the song Hook by Blues Traveler is like the whole thing's an Easter egg.
To what?
To listen. It doesn't matter what I say, so long as I sing with inflection. That makes you feel I'll convey some inner truth or vast reflection. Like he's telling you.
So he's like mocking.
Well, you know what a hook is, right?
A hook of a song.
Yeah. So here's another one, right? There is something amiss. I am being insincere. In fact, I don't mean any of this. Still, my confession draws you near. Like he's making fun of the entire song is him making fun of the fact that he's using words to hook you into the song.
Interesting. So it's like Weird Alley.
Kind of. Yeah. You got to go listen to it again. You'll appreciate it. And hold
it's a great song.
Max, with that being said, I am proud to say we have finished this episode. How would you like to end things? Give me a little what's in the box.
What's in the box? Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. California, stay away from here.
John Doe's got the upper hand.
That's the end.
That's the end. Okay. I'll see you next week when we talk about Hook. Bye.